Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, August 4th, Pope Leo sends a message on the 5th anniversary of the Port of Beirut explosion. The Vatican office managing St. Peter's Basilica signs an agreement with an international organization dedicated to promoting cultural patrimony. And one deacon recalls his unique experience participating in the Mass for the Jubilee of Youth at Tor Vergata. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie. On the 5th anniversary of the deadly explosion that tore through the port of Beirut, Pope Leo XIV assured the people of Lebanon of his spiritual closeness and communion in prayer. On August 4th, 2019, a massive explosion occurred in the port, set off by the ignition of more than 2,700 tons of highly volatile ammonium nitrate, killing at least 218 people, injuring more than 7,000, and displacing roughly 30,000 people. In a message to participants in a prayer vigil commemorating the disaster, Pope Leo said he is praying for those who died, as well as for those injured and those whose lives were disrupted by the catastrophe. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Testimonies, memories, a silent march, and the planting of 75 trees bearing the names of the victims marked a prayer vigil for the 5th anniversary of the explosion at the port of Beirut on August 4th, 2020. Tears and prayers accompanied the solemn commemoration as the Lebanese, 5 years on, remembered the 218 people who died and more than 7,000 who were injured in the blast, which, along with war, economic and political crises, and social instability, remains an open wound and yet another trial for the land of the cedars. Lebanon has long been the focus of attention of various popes, including John Paul II, who described the country as a message for the world, and Francis, who just a year ago in August received a group of relatives of the victims of the port tragedy. On Monday, Pope Leo XIV, in a message signed by Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin, assured those participating in the prayer vigil that Christ's tears are joined with ours in the face of loss and suffering. Death does not and will never have the last word, the Pope affirmed, while conveying his affection and that of the whole Church to the Lebanese people. Pope Leo, the message said, wishes to once again express his compassion to all those whose hearts are wounded or who have lost everything due to the catastrophe. The beloved and suffering Lebanon, the note reads, remain at the center of the Pope's prayers. I'm Christopher Wells.
And in more news from the Middle East, thousands of Palestinians have rallied across several West Bank cities, protesting Israel's ongoing military campaign in Gaza and restrictions on aid deliveries that have fueled widespread hunger in the enclave. Nathan Morley reports.
In central Ramallah, demonstrators gathered waving Palestinian flags and pictures of starvation victims in the Gaza Strip. On Sunday, 6 more people died from hunger and malnutrition, bringing the total number of starvation-related deaths to 175, including 93 children. That's according to Gaza-based health authorities. Meanwhile, the Hamas-run media office has reported that more than 22,000 trucks carrying humanitarian aid are currently stuck at the Gaza Strip's crossing gates, most of which belong to the UN and international organizations. Jordan, Egypt, and the United Arab Emirates on Sunday announced that they had delivered more aid into the Gaza Strip through airdrop missions and humanitarian convoys. Jordan carried out 7 joint airdrop missions over the Strip, delivering a total of 61 tons of aid and food assistance to the coastal enclave in cooperation with several partners. Last week, UN humanitarians said that as starvation worsens in Gaza, efforts to swiftly distribute aid are being hampered by delays, looting, and military operations, even as shipments continue to arrive through Israeli checkpoints. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, said that despite the Israeli military designating secure routes from border crossings into Gaza and towards distribution sites, aid trucks operated by the UN and its partners continue to face lengthy delays, putting drivers, humanitarian workers, and crowds at risk. Meanwhile, Western leaders have condemned videos of emaciated Israeli hostages who were filmed by their captors in Gaza, with the Red Cross calling for access to all of those remaining in captivity. The calls come after the Palestinian Islamic Jihad published a video of Ron Breslavsky, thin and crying, on Thursday, and Hamas also released footage of an emaciated Evatar David on Saturday. Israeli leaders have accused Hamas of starving hostages. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And turning to the African continent, the 20th Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, or SECEM, held in Kigali, was the plenary assembly concluded on Sunday at the Marian Shrine of Kibeho. The newly re-elected president of SECEM, Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo, Archbishop of Kinshasa, assured pilgrims that Africa has every reason to be optimistic about its future. He emphasized that this future lies in the hands of young people who continue to embrace the faith. Paul Samasumo reports from Kigali.
To conclude the 20th plenary SECEM assembly, which has been held in Kigali, Rwanda, this past week, the bishops of SECEM on Sunday traveled to the Marian Shrine of Our Lady of Kibeho. Newly re-elected SECEM president Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo emphasized Africa's bright future, which he said is driven by its young people embracing the faith. Thousands of Rwanda's young people and some from the neighboring Democratic Republic of Congo gathered in Kibeho to celebrate the Jubilee of Young People, and they joined the SECEM bishops for the Mass. Towards the end of Holy Mass, the young people were consecrated to the Blessed Virgin Mary by the SECEM bishops in a solemn consecration and commissioning. In his homily, Cardinal Ambongo urged the youth to emulate the recently beatified Blessed Floribert Bwanachui, who was martyred for his faith. The cardinal encouraged hope and unity among Africans, reminding pilgrims about the importance of hope. The bishops of SECEM have since published their plenary message in a communique outlining a continental pastoral vision for the next 25 years. For Vatican News, I'm Father Paul Samasumo in Kigali, Rwanda.
An important alliance between the Vatican office managing St. Peter's Basilica and an international organization promoting cultural patrimony has been signed. The aim is to promote the conservation of cultural heritage and sustainable development in African countries. The project will offer new opportunities for young local artisans and artists, helping to build stronger and more prosperous communities. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
Putting into practice their shared commitment to cultural heritage and future generations, the Director General of ICROM, an intergovernmental organization dedicated to the conservation of cultural heritage in every region of the world, and the President of the Fabrica di San Pietro in the Vatican have signed a strategic partnership agreement. ICROM Director General Anna Francesca Maria Gujral and the President of the Fabrica of San Pietro, Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, signed the agreement during these days, which focuses on cultural heritage, conservation, craftsmanship, and international cooperation. It lays the foundation for joint collaboration and capacity-building initiatives, with particular emphasis on enhancing artisan skills for the sustainable restoration and preservation of cultural heritage. At the heart of the agreement is the commitment to promote local skills and protect Africa's rich heritage and create socioeconomic opportunities for young people through the development of their talents. Director General Maria Gujral praised the agreement, saying, "Heritage is much more than we inherit. It's a living expression of the identities that preceded us and that accompany us as we shape tomorrow, and that culture is a bridge, a source of unity and renewal that keeps us human, evolving and enduring through generations." The head of the Fabrica di San Pietro, the office that manages St. Peter's Basilica, that's Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, he said that through this educational project, the Fabrica, through its School of Arts and Crafts, is opening the door of the Vatican Basilica to young African artists and artisans, offering them the opportunity to acquire unique skills in the conservation and enhancement of cultural heritage. He says sharing the knowledge gained over the centuries and transmitting the craftsmanship excellence that preserves St. Peter's Basilica represents a commitment to the growth of new generations of professionals in the field of cultural heritage protection in a spirit of service, authentic fraternity, and love for the beauty that leads to God. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Following Pope Leo's announcement of the dates for World Youth Day in 2027, the prefect of the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, extended an invitation to bishops and youth ministry offices worldwide to start their journeys toward the global event. Joseph Tulloch has the story.
At the concluding Mass for the Jubilee of Youth on Sunday, Pope Leo XIV announced the dates for the next World Youth Day, which is to be held in Seoul, South Korea. Cardinal Kevin Farrell, the prefect of the Dicastery for the Laity, Family and Life, today responded to the papal invitation, expressing his gratitude for the announcement. He also extended an invitation to formators, youth ministry officers and bishops to journey together towards Seoul, guided by the theme of World Youth Day 2027, which is Take Courage, I Have Conquered the World. The prefect said that it is the theme of the 2025 Jubilee Year, Hope, that helps encourage everyone to proclaim the gospel message throughout the world. He said, quote, "It is up to young people to become pilgrims of hope, to heal loneliness and poverty, and to become witnesses of peace in this world torn apart by divisions, conflicts and wars." According to the Dicastery's secretary, Dr. Gleison de Paula Souza, preparation for the World Youth Day in 2 years' time has already started and is proceeding quickly toward the dates chosen by the Holy Father. Dr. De Paula Souza explained that the Vatican has teamed up with the local organizing committee in Seoul, as well as the bishops and young people from around the world, and said that they had been welcomed by the Korean church to come together to witness that the encounter with Christ changes lives and gives the courage to overcome the challenges to which we are called. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
At yesterday's concluding Mass for the Jubilee of Youth, the Gospel was sung by Brother Giovanni Castellano, a Sicilian-born Dominican friar based in the UK. Brother Giovanni, who is 24, was ordained a deacon in London only 1 month ago. He spoke to Vatican Radio about participating in the Jubilee of Youth and his experience reading the Gospel at a Mass with Pope Leo and over 1 million young pilgrims.
It was such a blessing for me. I am a newly ordained deacon. Not even a month ago I was ordained in London. And it was the first time I chanted the Gospel, in fact. So a very good start to do it at the Papal Mass, wasn't it?
You've been here for the whole Jubilee of Youth, I think, with a group of young pilgrims from the UK. What has that experience been like?
It's been wonderful. I mean, we found Rome so prayerful, all the churches. It was wonderful to see so many young people living this really intensely. And then Dover Gata, the weekend in Dover Gata has really been the peak of this moment. 1 million young people during adoration focused to listening to the word of the Lord, to the address of the Pope, and then the adoration. It was, and then seeing them from the humble while reading the gospel, proclaiming the gospel to 1 million young people, it's been really such a powerful spiritual experience and hopefully a moment of real renewal for the church and for the world.
Did you get a chance to meet Pope Leo?
Yes, we did greet him before Mass. We shake hands with him, and it was very nice to all of us. Personally, I mentioned the fact that we were grateful of the appointment of St. John Henry Newman as Doctor of the Church in the UK. That's been great news, so we're very grateful for that.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks today go to the wonderful Luca Rossi and Daniele Giorgi in studio. And of course, a special thanks to all of you for listening. And be sure to join us again tomorrow at this same time for more. In the Vatican, I'm Kelsey Gussie.